Well, one of the countries where there is a surge of the variant, which was first discovered in India, B.1.617 as it's known, is the United Kingdom. The numbers are surging, and this may well end up being the top strain of COVID-19. So what are the implications in the United Kingdom, and what are we learning in terms of the strain itself? Before I go across to Professor Christina Pagel of University College London, I'd just like to go through a couple of these numbers. What you see over here, a couple of areas in the United Kingdom, the older strain of COVID, the numbers coming down, but variants of B or subvariants of B.1.617 on their way up. This is in the east of England, and it's very much the same in a couple of other parts. Now, if you look at London, this is actually, according to the data now coming in, gone beyond the older strains, B.1.1.7 and the old wild strain, as it were, to be the dominant strain in the city of London. Similarly, in the northwest, there are signs of this being, again, dominant, going beyond what the old strains were. And finally, in the southwest of the United Kingdom, once again, this very rapid rise of B.1.617.2, which is a subvariant of B.1.617. I'd like to go across to Professor Christina Pagel. Thanks very much, Professor Pagel, for being with us. Based on what scientists in the United Kingdom are now saying, do existing vaccines actually work against this strain?
So we're still waiting for kind of definitive evidence on that. But the early signs are that, yes, the vaccines work in preventing severe illness, which is the most important thing. There are some indications that they're not as good at preventing transmission. So it looks as if people who are fully vaccinated could still potentially catch this strain and pass it on to other people, even if they themselves don't get sick.
Yep.
So that means it just makes it a bit harder to control overall because there's more transmission.
Why did the United Kingdom bring down the interval between vaccine doses? What was it in this particular virus that resulted in this tweak?
So it's the fact that this variant is now doubling every week in England, and that's been happening since the last 6 weeks, so quite a consistent trend. And it won't be too much longer before it probably becomes dominant. And what they're worried about is that then causing another surge of infections that could, just because of the sheer numbers, start affecting people who've only had one dose of vaccine, who are more vulnerable. So what they're trying to do is protect those people now, so that by the time this variant does become dominant and cause another surge, then that will have more protection. Yeah.
How soon before the strain does become dominant across the United Kingdom?
Well, not that long. So there's data released today by the Wellcome Sanger Institute, which looks at just community cases. So it tries to take out cases that we've sequenced from travellers entering the UK and also from surge testing, which is what they do if they identify an outbreak. And that says that in the week to the 8th of May, this variant was 30% of cases in England. So, you know, probably by June, we might be at 50%.
Yeah.
What's kind of unknown is that today we're having a big unlocking. So we're now opening up indoor spaces across the country.
Mm.
So how that's going to affect transmission isn't really known, because what's happened is it's not just that this variant is increasing, it's that the other variants are coming down. And so that kind of makes it look like the proportions are increasing faster than they would otherwise. But if the old variants now go up as well with more mixing, then it's all a bit kind of confusing.
Yeah, no, in fact, that's an important point, because, for example, here in India, we had B.1.1.7 and B.1.6.1.7 at the same time, you know, and in different parts of the country, and the wild strain as well. And then, you know, it was terribly confusing for people to actually understand what they were dealing with. But the United Kingdom is opening up. It started opening up now. In your opinion, how dangerous is it for restaurants and pubs and whatnot to be opening up at this stage?
So, I mean, that's a really good question. So I think from an individual point of view, so from an individual person, it's not that dangerous to go to a restaurant or a pub, simply because cases, although they've been going up of this variant, are overall still quite low. You know, we're still at levels that we last saw last summer in the UK. But from a population perspective, public health perspective, it's quite risky, because we know that that will just accelerate spread. So we know that by opening up now, we might then cause ourselves to be in a bad situation in 4 to 8 weeks' time. And if our vaccination program hasn't managed to vaccinate enough people, then we could be in trouble. And that's according to the government's own scientific advisors.
Yeah. One final question, and I saw this this retweet of yours today, and I'm trying to understand the science of what it leads towards. Why is new data on neutralizing antibodies key to understand the efficacy of vaccines going forward?
Yeah, so ideally what you want are real world vaccine studies where you look at people who are getting sick, going to hospital and dying, and looking at what strain they had and what their vaccination status is. But that takes a long time to come through, like months after a variant has been identified, and that's just too long. So the laboratory studies, what they do is they take virus and then they take blood samples from people who've been vaccinated or have had COVID, and they kind of pit them against each other and see how many antibodies are produced. And so it's not perfect by any means, because it doesn't tell you about severity of illness or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But what a study that just came out today in Nature shows is that actually those lab studies looking at antibody effectiveness are actually quite well correlated with later studies looking at real world effectiveness. And so basically what it means is that those kind of lab studies give us quite an early indication of how well the vaccines will work in the real world.
All right. Thank you very much, Professor Pagel, for being with us this evening, giving us a sense of what you're seeing in the United Kingdom. And we follow what you write very, very closely indeed. Thanks very much.